Welcome back to Q in Charge. I'm your host, Joe the Q, and today we're diving into the future of EV charging without the cables. We'll explore how wireless technology is reshaping transportation, what's holding it back, how soon it could hit the mainstream, and why it might be the secret weapon against charging cable theft. From cutting-edge fleet solutions to the first wireless-ready cars, this is the real inside track on the next big shift in electrification. Let's get into it. Today's episode is proudly brought to you by our sponsor, Q Charge. If you have questions about the future of electrification, or you're ready to electrify your property and dive into a new business opportunity, look no further. AQ Charge has your back. Just visit www.qcharge123.com, your one-stop shop for everything you need, from equipment procurement, engineering, and installation to full operation and ongoing service all at your fingertips. Q Charge, the future we shape. Here's a deep dive episode today on today's wireless EV charging landscape. What exists, what's coming, how it compares to plug-in charging, and what it means for security and cable theft mitigation. I've grounded the highest stakes facts and current standards and reputable industry sources. So where is wireless EV charging in 2025? What is the state of play, feasibility, costs, OEM roadmaps, and the security upside? Well, these are all good questions, my friends, and these are you are asking me to explore. So here is the assessment of our finding. And based on the experience in the industry, wireless, or also called inductive charging for electric vehicles, has quietly moved from lab demos to the first real deployments. For light-duty passenger cars, the technology is standardized, interoperable at defined power levels, and commercially piloted in multiple regions. For heavy-duty fleets, high-power wireless is already working in the field with transit buses, yet mass-market adoption is still gated by a simple bottleneck. Very few vehicles ship with factory receivers, and retrofits remain a niche. Your instinct that it isn't broadly feasible yet due to a lack of compatible vehicles is accurate for light duty, while the opposite is true for some fleet use cases that benefit from automated opportunity charging. In parallel, wireless dramatically changes the security surface. No exposed cables means fewer targets, less vandalism, downtime, and fewer theft incentives. That matters because cable theft has surged, and while liquid-cooled DC fast charge cables carry less recoverable copper, these often do not distinguish and can still disable a site with one cut. Solutions include design changes like cut-resistant cables, site hardening, better monitoring, and strategically moving some locations to wireless pads where it makes sense and when it will be more adopted by the car manufacturer, so it will make sense to convert. But this needs to be speed-tracked and be available as soon as it can. This episode answers 7 questions. First, how the tech works and where standards sit. Second, what deployments exist today? Third, whether it's broadly feasible now? Fourth, a realistic adoption timeline? Fifth, what all makers are doing? Sixth, how costs compare to plug-in? And last but not the least, seventh, how wireless can help with cable theft? Plus, what else to do about it? What wireless charging is and what it is not? Let's start from there as first question. In principle, light-duty wireless electric vehicle charging uses resonant inductive coupling, a ground pad or called transmitter, and a vehicle pad or called receiver. Exchange power across an air gap via a tuned magnetic field. A control loop manages alignment and power flow, and a communication layer authenticates the session. The benefit is park and walk away. Convenience, no plug, no wear on sockets, and the possibility of very frequent short automatic top-ups that keep batteries in the highest longevity state of charge band. So, where is standardization in all this? The core interoperability specification for light-duty vehicles is SAE J2954, which defines frequency, alignment tolerance, magnetic field limits, communications, and power classes. Today, up to approximately 11 kVA in the latest published revision, with a roadmap to 22kVA in future updates. For medium/heavy-duty vehicles, SAE J2954/2 defines higher transfer levels suitable for buses and trucks. These documents are the anchor enabling cross-vendor compatibility and certification. A lot question about its efficiency. Well-designed systems can achieve efficiencies comparable to AC Level 2 plug-in charging for the same delivered power that is typically high 80s to low 90s percent at the wall, depending on alignment and hardware. Field data from pilots and national lab testing continues to converge on the conclusion that wireless versus wired efficiency is not the bottleneck for users and the demand. Alignment and installation quality are the standards, alignment targets, and coil geometries address this. So what actually exists in the wild from driveways to depots to roads? Let's start with residential or light-duty pilots and products. Y-Tricity has announced an aftermarket receiver and 11 kW wireless home solution called Halo, aimed at parity with Level 2 AC plug-in charging in both power and efficiency. The kit includes a vehicle receiver, wall box, and on-ground pad. BMW's 530e pilot in the US and Europe demonstrated daily use of an inductive home pad for plug-in hybrids and won an industry technology award. Useful proof that consumer workflows and durability are sound, though the program was limited and not extended across the lineup. Genesis GV60 from Korea showcased factory-installed wireless capability during launch activity, evidence of OEM readiness, even if availability has been constrained outside pilot geographies. So how all this is handled in heavy-duty, high-power depot opportunity charging? Inductive E, formerly Momentum Dynamics, operates high-power wireless pads for transit fleets, with agencies adopting 150 to 300 kW in-ground chargers that deliver energy during dwell time at stops or layovers, enabling opportunity charging and smaller onboard packs. Seattle's Sound Transit program plans for new ducted chargers for new double-decker and articulated buses, Inductive E reports multi-gigawatt hours delivered to date. Electron and partners have built the first U.S. public inductive roadway segment in Detroit, part of a broader program exploring charge-as-you-drive architecture for logistics in urban corridors. While still pilot scale, it proves constructability and urban integration. Bottom line, wireless is commercially active in fleets and piloted for homes parking. Dynamic roadways are in proof of concept phase. This leads us to the next question. Is wireless feasible today? Short answer, technically, yes, commercially limited by vehicle compatibility. A homeowner or workplace can install a pad now, and if they have a compatible vehicle or a receiver retrofit, enjoy fully automatic charging at 7.7 to 11 kW. But because only a handful of models are shipping with receivers, and OEMs have prioritized other features, addressable market today is small. It's already justified in specific duty cycles. Buses that dwell at predictable stops can recoup 3 miles of range per idle minute, minimizing peak depot loads and right-sizing batteries. That operational math is why transit agencies are adopting pads at scale. Why compatibility is the real constraint. Wireless is a two-sided market. Pads are only valuable when vehicles can use them, and OEMs only add receivers when a significant percentage of destinations offer pads. The J2954 standard finally gives OEMs a stable target. The next gating item is cost and packaging of receivers and the business model for including them. Trim line, option, tweet spec. Those are all the questions down the road. How can we predict or see the adoption timeline? Realistic expectations, 2030. 2025 and 2026 will be the years for continued fleet expansion, such as buses, campus shuttles, certain logistics yards, residential pilots grow. Premium trims in Asia or Europe may quietly add receivers in low volume. Dynamic roadway pilots expand by a few miles in select cities focused on freight lanes. Year 2027 and 2028, first North American light-duty OEM adds a wireless receiver option on a mainstream model, likely premium or luxury first. Several workplace or residential pad vendors gain ULNJ 2954 certification at 11 kW. Early bidirectional demonstrations appear wireless V2H for stationary backup. 2029 and 2030, receiver take rate rises 10 to 20% in select models, especially in fleets and multifamily developments where cable handling is problematic, such as weather, ADA reach, vandalism. Dynamic roadway projects remain limited, but gain freight zone traction. This curve mirrors other convenience plus technologies developments like garage door openers, home Wi-Fi, wireless phone charging, obvious when you have it, not essential until the ecosystem tips. So let's switch to what automakers are doing today and what to expect. Premium pioneers and pilots. BMW's 530e program validated user experience and alignment tolerances. Hyundai Genesis showcased production-viable integration. Mercedes-Benz and others have evaluated inductive systems for S-Class and EQ models, but rollouts remain selective as OEMs focus on cost reductions elsewhere. Receiver integration considerations. A receiver adds weight, about 10, 20 kilos, depending on design and shielding, additional cost of module plus HV integration plus controls, and packaging complexity from ground clearance, thermal paths, and etc. Typically weight for a standard J2954 now published and supplier cost downs before making it a line item. The steady march from 11 kW toward 22 kW in this spec helps because it aligns with common onboard AC charger sizes and overnight use cases. Commercial vehicles like bus and shuttle makers are embracing high-power wireless because it eliminates driver plug-in time and automates opportunity charging, increasing asset utilization and route reliability. Expect early adoption in yard tractors, drayage trucks that pause under gantries, and airport service vehicles. What about the cost comparison wireless versus plug-in today? Costs vary widely by site, but the following patterns hold. Hardware and install light duty, like plug-in level 2, are about $1,200 to around $2,500 for a quality unit. And typical residential install, commercial pedestal with trenching can run $4,000, $10,000 plus. Wireless with the same power, pad plus wall unit plus vehicle receiver. The pad for EV SE side can be in the low to mid four figures, similar to premium level 2 plus in-ground work. But the vehicle receiver is the swing factor, today often several thousand dollars as a retrofit. As OEMs integrate receivers, the marginal costs can fall toward the price of an upgraded onboard charger or premium convenience pack. Wytricity positions its 11 kW kit as level 2 comparably in speed and efficiency. Cost parity on hardware relies on receiver volumes over time. Hardware and install for depot of 150 to 300 kW. Cable DC fast charge cost today is approximately $80,000 to $250,000. Per dispenser plus switchgear and civil work, wireless high power in-ground pads with protective covers. Power cabinets and integration, total project costs can be competitive when driver plug time, connector maintenance, winterization, and dwell time energy recapture are valued. Transit agencies adopt wireless precisely because the operational economics pencil out over duty cycles. Fewer plugs, fewer broken connectors, and automated charging that cuts schedule slack. So what about operating costs and uptime and all that comes with it? Well, wireless eliminates connector damage, which is a huge operating cost for public DC sites and wear from thousands of plug and suck cycles. It also avoids derays from poor contact in damaged couplers. Energy losses are similar to AC level 2. At high power, site design and alignment become decisive. Residential and premium convenience. Willingness to pay for seamlessness. Fleet depots, if available. Often, choose wireless when it increases route reliability, enables smaller packs via opportunity charging, and reduces connector maintenance and labor. Now we are at the last question, security and cable theft, where wireless changes the game and how. Public networks report rising cable theft and vandalism driven by high copper prices and opportunistic attacks. One cut can disable a station or an entire site, damaging trust and utilization. Networks are responding with cut-resistant cables, steel-reinforced alarms, and software that turns pedestals into tamper sensors. Why liquid-cooled DC cables aren't the magic fix. It's true that many liquid-cooled high-current cables have less copper mass, smaller conductors enabled by cooling. That reduces scrap value per foot, but thieves usually do not check conductor cross-sections. Any visible cable can be a target, and the operational damage from a single cut is the real cost. Wireless mitigation. Moving some locations like transit stops, rideshare ranks, taxi stands, certain multifamily garages to in-ground pads removes the visible, cuttable target entirely. There is still metal and pad coils, but it is encased, secured to concrete, and harder to access without tools and time. Ballistic anti-theft measures for cabled sites, what actually works today, is not many, but there are some worth of mentioning. Cut-resistant steel-reinforced cables now arriving to market and locking holsters that alarm when forced. Retrofit wherever vandalism is frequent. Some of them can also be equipped with colored dye that explodes during the cutting of cables. Mounting geometry that keeps slack minimal and cables off the ground suck as overhead retractors, short leads, to make cutting physically awkward. But his did not stop them of doing. They will just cut the mechanism cables and just make even bigger damage to the chargers. Hardening and visibility, bright lit, high traffic placements, bollards and cameras that see the cable span, conspicuous alarm decals tied to real monitoring. Rapid response telemetric treat a sudden current drop or connector present sensor change as a security event, not just a fault. Notify the site owner instantly, and there are several networks are rolling this into OCPP-backed services. One of them is QCharge. Community design to co-locate chargers with staffed venues like groceries, cafes, and public safety partners, local police outreach programs really do lower repeat incidents. Selective wireless at the most vandalized bays to remove the target entirely while leaving some conventional stalls for universal access. However, we still lack on this technology to be widely adopted and developed. And one of the newer developments have bring to the market also pedestals in the shape of a cabinet that simply stores cables inside and open the door to access the cables once the charging session. It's activated where the client, upon finishing charging session to be able to finalize the payment, will need to place the cable back inside and close the door where the charger will receive the final command that the session is finished. These types of solution, currently it's fairly available for level 2 charging stations. However, they are solutions for DC fast charging stations as well. If you need to know more about this type of a solution, you can reach out to QCharge for more information and availability. So, where wireless fits best today? Transit, shuttle, and campus fleets. Predictable dwell points plus automated top-ups and harsh weather reduction, like no wet gloves, no icy connectors. All this equals to strong business case. Seattle's Sound Transit expansion is part of a trend now spanning multiple Washington agencies, multifamily and valet or robotic parking. If you manage space tightly, not having drivers handle cables reduces trip hazards and ADA conflicts and works well with automated parking robots that can align over pads. Premium residential lots for park and it charges experience is compelling. As soon as vehicles include receivers, the convenience unlocks a market similar to home solar batteries. Not essential, but deeply sticky for those who can afford it. Urban taxi and rideshare ranks wireless pads at curbside stands work like sips of energy. Several 5-minute top-ups per hour can cover a shift without long dwell at today's available chargers. Dynamic road lanes for future freight. The Detroit Inductive Roadway is an early proof point. The freight use case, like fixed routes, fleet receivers, high uptime value, is the likeliest first commercial beachhead. Now, what still needs to happen to be able to adopt all this new technology in the future? Receivers in cars is the first step. One or two major global OEMs adding a receiver option on popular trims would shift the ecosystem. The J2954 spec is now stable enough for that bet, and an 11kW receiver aligns with typical onboard AC charger sizes. Clear certification and signage, consumers should see the same plug types logic applied to pads J2954 certified, power class WPT2/3, and alignment indicators, with the vehicle clearly advertising compatibility. Interoperability with payments. Pair wireless with plug and charge style authentication using ISO 15000. 1 and 18, so the no plug experience also means no app shuffle. The AC/DC plug and charge wave hitting newer vehicles hints at where wireless billing should land. Fleet grade asset models. Transit agencies and fleets need TCO calculators that include avoided connector maintenance, reduced labor minutes, smaller batteries via opportunity charging, and peak load smoothing. Safety and EMF communications. The standards already set magnetic field limits. Public acceptance rises when sites clearly display certification, field strength compliance, and pacemaker safety guidance based on the standard, not guesswork. All this leads to realistic expectations for 2025 up to 2030, as best as possible we can predict as of now. Fully feasible where vehicles are compatible and widely feasible for fleets now. Gradual for consumers where the receiver availability is key. Steady for fleets, pilots for roads. Pad hardware will land near premium level 2 as volumes rise. Receiver costs fall toward the price of an upgraded onboard charger by late decade. High-powered depot wireless competes on lifetime OpEx, not sticker price. In the most vandalized contexts, shifting even a subset of bays to wireless yields disproportionate uptime gains and lowers repair tickets, complement, not replace, cabled stalls. Is it feasible at the moment? Technically, yes, commercially limited by compatible vehicles. Aftermarket receivers exist at the moment only at 11kW and match level 2 charging experiences. Widespread adoption hinges on OEM integration. Feeds have proven and scaling where opportunity charging improves service metrics. How soon for adoption and deployment? Expect visible consumer options by 2027, latest 2028, on at least one mainstream model. Fleet deployments continue to expand annually. Dynamic road segments grow in a handful of cities by decade's end. So what are car manufacturers doing? So far, they demonstrated capability like BMW Pilot and Genesis Showcase. With suppliers that are ready, they can achieve this new tech very fast. The publication of J2954 from 2024 update removes a major uncertainty. Watch premium brands first. How does wireless help cable theft? By eliminating exposed, cuttable cables, the most common failure mode in today's vandalism wave, wireless pads are encased and hard to access. Pair with cut-resistant cables where plugs remain to reduce theft and downtime. Is copper theft really about the metal value? In short, yes, copper prices drive theft, but thieves often cut indiscriminately. While liquid-cool fast-charge cables use less copper mass, a single cut still disables the stall and can cascade. Design and monitoring, not just metal content, prevent loss. Practical steps to prevent theft, whether or not you adopt wireless. Deploy steel-reinforced cut-resistant cables and locking holsters with real-time tamper alerts. Minimize slack, use overhead retractors, remove ground-lying spans. Harden sites with lighting, cameras that clearly view the cable, and fast owner notifications on abnormal states. Place chargers where people are staffed businesses, co-located with security. Convert the most frequently vandalized bays to wireless pads to remove the target entirely. Consider using pedestal cabinets instead of regular pedestals so that you can place cables securely inside the metal cabinet and reduce the exposure of the cables. And there is a big chatter, should we leave the cables energized 24/7 so the vandals get discouraged due to electrical hazard and shock semi-principle as we have electric fences. Now, the only question is how the regulations and the lawmakers will see that potential lawsuits and question on the injury and lost life. But what to do if the operators and owners are desperate to protect the assets and business and government and police response is very slow or none? Wireless EV charging is not a science project anymore. It is a standardized, commercially proven technology whose adoption curve is dictated by vehicle compatibility and specific operational value. For fleets, the value is here today. Automated opportunity charging increases uptime and right-sizes batteries. For consumers, the technology will feel inevitable once a few major models ship with receivers. Because convenience changes habits, and habits change infrastructure. From a security and uptime perspective, adding wireless to the toolbox is smart risk management. As networks battle copper theft and vandalism, a mix of hardened cabled stalls and in-ground wireless bays will keep sites online, reduce repair tickets, and deliver a better driver experience. If you are planning infrastructure in 2025 to 2028, recommendation is to design for both. Run conduit and civil works that can host either cabled pedestals or in-ground pads, specify camera views and alarms around the cable run, and talk to OEM partners about near-term receiver roadmaps. That way, you can plug in today and go no-plug tomorrow. That's it for today's episode of Q and Charge with me, Joe the Q. We've seen how wireless charging could transform the EV experience, tackle cable theft, and reshape how we power our journeys. If you enjoyed this discussion and want to stay plugged into the future of electrification, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends, colleagues, and fellow EV enthusiasts. Your support keeps the conversation and the innovation moving forward. Until next time, stay charged.